This episode of Finding Fairways is a presentation of Blarney Stone Broadcasting, and this show has been pre-recorded. Good morning, Michigan golfers. It's time for a new episode of Finding Fairways. This week, my co-host Joe Charles, the new director of golf instruction at Boyne, will be joining us. He will talk to us about ways to get your game back in shape and all the great technology at the Boyne Golf Academy. We will also be joined by Jeff Roth, a teaching instructor at Boyne, and also one of the finest players in Michigan golf history. So we have a great show planned for you. Stay tuned here on your Finding Fairways network. Finding Fairways is presented by CarlsGolfland.com. Make sure you take advantage of the great savings at CarlsGolfland.com and get your Shank the Virus t-shirt today. Good morning, Northern Michigan golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne in studio with one of our co-hosts, the brand new director of golf instruction at Boyne, Joe Charles. Joe, I know obviously everybody is operating under different circumstances, so how's it been starting out at Boyne this year?
It's been great. We have had we're starting to get a little bit better weather, and so that's always good. It's 85 degrees here in Harbor Springs today, so that definitely is making it feel like summer. But you know, a little bit of a slow start just with everything that you just mentioned. But we got some awesome news. This past week, our hotels are opening on Friday. Things are starting to really start cranking here, so we're excited to see that.
You also got to be excited about all the technology that you'll have to be able to play with and advance your students through the program that you really haven't had the chance to work with before.
Yeah, so, you know, moving from Treetops to Boyne, I had some cool stuff at Treetops, but we're kind of taking it to another level here. For those listening who have not heard of everything we have here at the Boyne Golf Academy, we've got a system called Gears, G-E-A-R-S, and it's basically a system where we put sensors all over the body of the student, and we have you hit golf balls, and it tells us in 3D the way your body and the way the golf club is moving during your swing, which gives us just countless things that we can measure, and it gives us some really cool information to help us, you know, help you play better golf a lot quicker.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the making of how they do video games, this is the same stuff. You put on a suit like LeBron James would put on for NBA 2K, right?
Yep. And there's sensors all over that suit. We have sensors on the golf club itself that you're swinging, and it tells us a lot of really cool stuff. So it's pretty advanced stuff.
Yeah, I know that you and I have been talking, and as soon as we can get it on the schedule, I want to head up to Boyne and go through the Gears and some of the new stuff that you're working with, because last year I had just two lessons with you and hit the ball better than I have in a decade. So I can only imagine how much more my game can improve.
You know, what I'm saying to everybody this year is we're starting off slow, but we're going to build momentum. And that's the way it's going to happen for people's golf games, too. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a great year, and we're going to see students and golfers playing a lot of golf and great weather. And, you know, like you had last year, we're going to see some success with some students also.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year. And, you know, congratulations on landing the job. I know Treetops is a great, it has a great tradition, great golf courses, but you're stepping into what was last year the greatest golf resort in America.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you look at, you know, not only the facilities we have here at the Highlands, but we have, you know, Boyne Mountain, which has, you know, the Alpine, which is a great golf course, and, you know, there's a lot of really good golf courses, and, you know, we're doing it here at Boyne at a very high level, so it's a lot of fun, and it's I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we look forward to working with you all year long, and like I said, getting up there and trying out some of the brand new technology. When we return here on Finding Fairways, Joe and I will discuss great ways to shake off the rust and get your season, golf season started. A little later on, we'll be joined by J.R. Roth, who was one of the had one of the great golf seasons in Michigan PGA history. And then later on, Joe and I will talk about the beginning of the PGA Tour as well. That's all coming up next here on Finding Fairways, presented by CarlsGolfland.com on the Finding Fairways Radio Network. It's time to check in with our good friend Carl Rose from CarlsGolfland.com. And Carl, finally the news we've been waiting for.
We are open. You can come in the store now, Jerry. Come see me.
I am going to come see you, Carl. Boy, have I missed you.
I miss you too, Jerry.
Well, I know you've missed your customers, Carl, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of familiar faces in the couple of days that you've just been opened.
Yeah, it's we opened yesterday morning at 9, you know, on a limited basis based on the executive order. And I told my wife last night, it felt so good, Jerry, to see people in the walls here. Okay. It was wonderful.
Yeah, Carl, I totally get it. Everybody that knows you at all, like I do, knows what a people person you are. And it's one thing to sell golf equipment online, which you're doing a great job with, but you love to see people in your store and improving the game that they love.
Yeah, Jerry, people are so excited to come in. And you can just tell it's a great day for them. It was a great day for me yesterday. And it's continued that way today. It feels good. To have, I guess, a little normalcy back in our lives, in my life as a golf retailer, it feels wonderful.
So both of your locations in Plymouth at St. John's and the original Bloomfield Hill stores are open now. What are the hours?
Yep, they're both open. Our hours are 9 to 9 Monday through Saturday, 8 on Sunday. And then next week we'll go to our summer hours. We'll go 9 to 10 Monday through Saturday at 10 to 8.
As we all know by now, you can always go to carlsgolfland.com 24/7. But if you're anywhere near the location of either one of the stores, please stop in. Carl would love to see you.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would.
All right, Carl, we'll check in with you next week and get into some great golf deals at carlsgolfland.com.
All righty. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks, nice man. Talking to you today.
Don't forget, carlsgolfland.com is selling the Shank the Virus T-shirts, and all those dollars from $1 are going to charities to support COVID-19 efforts. Please check out the CarlsGolfland.com Shank the Virus site and get your t-shirt today. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to you by CarlsGolfland.com, Jerry Coyne, and our co-host Joe Charles, the director of golf instruction at beautiful Boyne Resort. Joe, obviously the golf season has just started for us in northern Michigan, so I know that most people are trying to shake off the rust of being cooped up, especially under the COVID circumstances. A lot of people weren't even in the gym. So what have you been going over with some of your students to get them ready for the golf year?
Yeah, so there's three different aspects that we try to zero in on this time of year. One is your body, okay? So we want to get your body kind of in golf shape, so to speak. And that all starts with doing a physical evaluation. You know, we're TPI instructors here at Boyne, which for those of you who aren't familiar with it, that's the Titleist Performance Institute, where we actually diagnose the flaws you have, so to speak, in your body or the limitations you have in terms of range of motion. And then we can, you know, either prescribe exercises or we can find workarounds in your golf swing to accommodate for those, you know, those shortcomings. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect is we have to get your equipment in shape. So, for example, we have a Callaway demo day on Friday where we're doing appointments for people to come in from 9 to 3, and there's no charge for that. So that's a kind of a way for us to help our students start to get their equipment dialed in that we're excited about. Callaway's got some great new product out this year with the Maverick woods and irons and driver. So the second thing is the equipment, and then the third thing is technique and just developing a practice schedule. So practicing, you know, and we've talked about this before, Jerry, practicing, you know, smartly and practicing the right things, super important for, you know, developing as a golfer.
Well, I know last year, just the two lessons that you and I had, Joe, You just had me working, doing a small little drill that you could do with or without your clubs. And then one, just an impact, hitting the ball, keeping my wrist cupped more at impact, that I would do for the first maybe 10 balls that I would hit on the range, that would reinforce the stuff that you pointed out to me in video. And it really had resounding effect of my game, positive resounding effect on my game.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, I mean, every golfer, as you know, every golfer has their own kind of quirks and idiosyncrasies to their golf swings. And we all, you know, sometimes we may fix something, and then that same old problem or same bad habit may creep back the following year, especially this time of year when you haven't swung a club much lately. So it's always good to get that kind of tune-up and take a look at things. And, you know, we can reinforce those good habits, get you working on the right drills again, and start off the season strong.
Joe, going back to what you were saying with equipment, and gears is part of that club fitting experience as well, correct?
It is, yes. One of the things where, you know, we always, in any business, you look at your return on investment, your ROI, and where we can really track that ROI is in our club sales. It's such a great tool for helping us diagnose students' golf swings, but then also, more importantly, diagnosing their golf clubs. And we can look at things like shaft flexion. You know, it tells us exactly where on the face you're hitting every single shot that you're hitting. And with all this information, you know, obviously things like the speed the club's moving and, you know, things like that. But when we factor all those things in together, we can figure out the perfect club for you. And, by optimizing that, I mean, it can make a big difference in your golf game. Nobody should be playing a stock set of golf clubs. Everybody should be playing a custom set of clubs. And the nice thing about that is there's no upcharge for customized clubs. That's a big buying clubs off the rack, or you call, say, Callaway this weekend when you come see us. There's no upcharge to get a set of clubs that matches you perfectly. So that's you're almost stupid not to take advantage of it.
So when you talk to somebody about lessons and then new clubs, what is a good time frame to be looking at upgrading equipment? How long have I had these irons or this driver or these wedges?
Yeah. So wedges, just a kind of a good baseline, is at least once every 2 years, we like our students to upgrade their wedges. And that's just because of the grooves. I mean, we want nice, clean, sharp grooves that, you know, helps you put the maximum spin you can on a golf ball. One of the questions I get asked all the time in lessons is, how do I put the, you know, that tour suck on that ball? You know, how do I get that ball to back up? And then the first thing I do is look at their wedge. It's 12 years old, and the grooves are full of rust and dirt, and they're playing a hard golf ball. Well, the first thing you can do is change your golf ball and upgrade your wedges, and that's going to put a lot more spin on. So that's the first thing that we look for in the spring, especially.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we like to do a lot of testing. So we have you hit your current equipment during a fitting session, and then, you know, say you have a driver that's 2 years old, and then we put you in the latest and greatest. Have you hit them side by side, and if there's no improvement, we don't put you in a new golf club. But when there is new improvement and you can see it in the numbers, kind of hard not to put a new club in your bag if golf is important to you. So that's just the way we like to do it. Aside from that, we've got bending machines here. So we will take all of our students. One of the things I do in the spring is, you know, we bring irons and wedges and everything in, and we'll check the lie angles and the lofts on all your clubs, because those can bend over time as well. So this is a perfect time of year to, you know, get that stuff dialed in.
They're always, every year, introducing new drivers. A new equipment has always got a lot of great turnover in it. What has been the biggest improvement in equipment over the last 3 years?
Yeah, so there's been a few different pieces of technology from different companies that I have noticed have, you know, been game changers. So one is the jailbreak technology in the Callaway woods. So if you're not familiar with those, it's basically two bars that go behind the face, which helps Callaway make the face itself a little bit thinner, gets it a little bit hotter, but those two bars that are behind the face support and they make it nice and stable. So that's one thing. TaylorMade has come out with the twist face technology, which you may have heard of. And that, you know, basically makes the sweet spot a little bit bigger and makes it so if you don't hit the center of the club face consistently, you know, you can still, you know, get some good performance with that club. So that's been, you know, every company has new stuff coming out every year that it's always fun to kind of see what they've got going and do some experimenting with it and stuff like that.
And then what I see, and you can talk to it much better than I can, is the new irons, the playability of irons. You know, everybody's talking about what the pros play, which are, what, forged irons, right?
Yeah.
And then more playable irons are cast. You're getting a hybrid version of some of these irons, so a less experienced or proficient player like myself can get closer to the technology that pros are playing.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're starting to see with our students is people have kind of a preference on what they want that club to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, you may have remembered 20 or so year 15 20 years ago the original Big Bertha irons. It looked like a shovel on the end of a stick. And the reason for that was they were trying to build that cavity as big as they can and make them as forgiving as possible. But the problem with those were they were really ugly. And now they can build these, you know, with the new technology, they can build these irons that look pretty good. They have a nice thin top line, but they still have a little cavity in them and they're still forgiving. And they're able to move the COG a little bit lower on that club to help get the ball up in the air, and so you don't have to be, you know, giving up so much in order to have a forgiving iron now.
And they weigh a little bit less now, which is going to increase club head speed, which is going to lead to a bigger distance.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing that I see performance-wise when we upgrade irons, especially for older golfers or golfers who have had injuries in the past, potentially, is putting graphite shafts or in just lighter shafts in general in your iron. Decreasing the overall weight of that golf club by 20 or 30 grams can make a huge difference in speed, and it also changes the feel of the club. You know, you put a heavy, stiff shaft in, and in northern Michigan here, you hit a thin shot on a Saturday morning, and you got that rattle going through your hands. You do that with a steel shaft and then with a graphite shaft, you're not going to have the tremors going up the nerves of your arms, you know, quite as bad with that graphite.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, we're going to add into our conversation Jeff Roth, who is not only Joe's stablemate at Boyne Golf, but also the Michigan PGA Player of the Year. He had an incredible year. We look forward to talking about that with Jeff when we return here on All right, we are back here on Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with me is Joe Charles, our co-host for this week, and his stablemate at Boyne, Jeff Roth, who had a very fine season in the Michigan PGA tournaments. Jeff, say hello to our audience.
Hello, audience. This is Jeff Roth from Boyne Island.
Jeff, you just got back. What were you, down in Arizona?
I lived up in the northwest corner of New Mexico, Colorado.
All right, and you just made it back to the States, so you're still in quarantine, is that right?
Yeah, I've got a few more days to go, and then I'm free to eat and help people get better.
What is the status of the Michigan PGA Tour and the events that, I mean, they're all postponed? Are any of them rescheduled yet?
Most of them have been rescheduled. You know, as we sit right here at the end of May, probably feeling like a normal beginning of April because the tournament schedule has been pushed back a couple of months, and we don't really start playing majors till well into July, the end of July, with the Tournament of Champions and Michigan Open is around the 1st of September, August, 13th of August is the PGA, and then the match play will bring up the rear end of the year.
Jeff, tell our listeners a little bit about last year. You had a fantastic year playing golf, even at your advanced age.
Yeah. No, it was quite a year. It started out a little slow, but then I caught fire and won the Tournament of Champions in July. And a few weeks later, went to Flint Golf Club and won another Michigan PGA. And all of a sudden, my season turned into a terrific season.
Yeah, I mistakenly introduced you as the Michigan PGA Player of the Year, but I was wrong in that. What happened at the end of the season?
Well, so I had a pretty big lead in kind of like the lottery. You got to play to win, and I kind of cut out early and didn't play the last few events. And Scott won the chapter championship up here in the northern area, and then he won the match play championship. And those points ended up nipping me out. He got a couple W's at the end of the year, to his credit, and played stellar. And then I actually finished it off by winning the Senior National Club Pro Championship in Austin, which was tremendous for him and tremendous for the section.
Yeah, no doubt. You and Scott Hebert have been battling it out for, what, 30 years now in the state of Michigan?
Yes. Yeah, when I won those couple of majors back-to-back in July and August, I actually took the lead, and then he won the match play in September, and now we're back to being tied for the most majors won.
That's not, you know, it's a testament to both of you guys to be playing such great golf. You're in your 60s now, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm 62, and you know, I was scheduled, this week was supposed to be the Rocket Mortgage.
Right.
And I was scheduled to play in that, but the PGA Tour took away the exemption for this year, so I won't be able to play in July when they reschedule it. And the Michigan PGA has been nice enough to grant that exemption moving forward to next year, so I'll be 63 years old playing against the kids.
Well, you're playing against a lot of younger kids in these tournament of champion events and everything else, right? I mean, there's no, except for the senior events, tournament of champions had kids in their 20s all the way up to you and Hebert.
Yeah. No, we're both Scott and I are playing against pros that are in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, fortunately, we're both relatively healthy, and we both have our skills, and I think both of us will be able to compete for a while longer yet.
Well, obviously you're giving up some distance. I've seen how far some of these kids hit the golf ball. I mean, they need to have two fuel stops before you can get up to the ball. So explain to our listeners a little bit, as not only a professional golfer, but you're a fine teacher as well, how I know there's some things that you've done to increase your distance, and then why not? It shouldn't be that big of an issue.
Well, to some degree, you have to just stay overall fit, right? But I have been involved the last couple of years in speed training practices that have allowed me to develop a better awareness of where the speed happens, and I've been able to keep my balance issues in check, because as you get older, you start to lose a little bit of balance. And so the speed training helps me with my balance. And so I've been using Mach 3 speed training, which is kind of an extension of the speed sticks, the different dimensions. So we work on over speed, we work on balance, we work on strength, and we use various weights of ropes to help that happen. Plus, you can use the ropes for motor pattern training, and you know that we like to use the adage there: speed promotes efficiency. So, the more you think about what you're doing, the less efficient you're going to be. So, when you think about speed and know where that speed happens, you can actually increase your efficiency in terms of the technical part of your swing.
In relative terms, Jeff, where are you? I mean, with technology and with the speed training you're talking about, how much distance have you lost from your 30s?
Oh, I haven't lost anything. I'm longer than I was when I was in my 30s. Of course, part of that has to do with the equipment.
Right.
But also, a lot of it has to do with the speed training and my fitness. A couple of years ago, I did PPI level 1, and not only does that help me with my students in terms of evaluating what they can and can't do, but it helped me tremendously evaluate what I need to get better at. And so using the TPI education and evolving into this speed training, it's really helped me minimize my ability to have to practice all the time to stay on top of my game. And, you know, at my age, I'm not going to make any big, major swing changes.
Right.
There'll be little adjustments, but as long as I stay fit and as long as I keep improving on my balance and stuff like that, I can compete for quite a few years, I think.
Joe, obviously Jeff is an extremely accomplished player. He's been that way for a long time. Most of the people, all the people listening to the program are going to be more on the amateur level. Working with you at the Boyne Golf Academy, you know, what kind of distance improvement do you think you can deliver to a normal student who's ready to do some drills and, you know, upgrade their equipment and the ball?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, it's just like anything in life. You get what you put out. You know, you get out of it what you put into it. So, and this is no different. So it is a combination of optimizing equipment and then getting your body, like Jeff was just talking about, getting your body working the way we want it to. But, gosh, just to give some examples, I had just working on overspeed training and, you know, some of the basic stuff Jeff was just talking about. I saw last year in my ladies' golf school at Treetops, women just in one session increasing their club head speed dramatically and hitting their driver 15 or 20 yards further. And that's just a byproduct of learning how to swing fast but maintaining stability while you're doing it. A lot of people, they try to swing harder or faster, but then they, like Jeff just said, they lose their balance. And
right.
If you lose your balance, you're not going to be able to hit the center of the club face. So, speed gains are huge, and, you know, they help you play a lot better golf.
You got comments to that, Jeff? Because as we said, not only are you a great player, but you're a pretty fair teacher, too. Are you seeing a full spectrum of students yourself? Are you do you usually cater to older golfers?
No, I teach, the entire spectrum of age and ability. But, again, the thing that I found out in teaching a little bit more full-time than when I was a club pro is if people can't move, you can't help them as good as possibly could technically, right? If you're asking them to make a move, to feel something, but they just can't move because they're locked up, it's really difficult to help them improve. So I've kind of morphed into using the speed training as much for technical training and motor pattern training as I have just for speed training and getting a little stronger and faster.
Jeff, when do you anticipate being available for lessons at Boyne?
Yeah, I'll be open for business Sunday.
Okay, that's great news, Jeff. Glad to have you back here in Northern Michigan. And if you want to contact Jeff and start getting lessons with him, go to boynegolf.com. When we return, Joe Charles and I will talk about the Junior Golf Academy, the first tee program, and how you can start improving your golf game right away. That's when we return on Finding Fairways, brought to you by carlsgolfland.com. Back here on Finding Fairways, Jerry Coyne in studio and the director of golf instruction at Boyne, Joe Charles, continuing on the phone with us. Joe, have you ever played with Jeff?
I haven't. I was hanging out on the range tee the other day, and he was out hitting golf balls, which he does a lot of, and it was pretty impressive. He's, you know, doesn't hit it very far, but he's very, very consistent and a nice tight ball pattern.
Yeah, I've been watching Jeff. I mean, he was an assistant pro at Birmingham Country Club when my dad was a member. Jeff's just a year older than me, and he's always been a great player. We didn't get a chance to talk to him, but Jeff and Dan Pohl down at the Polecat, who's one of our co-hosts for this program, have known each other since college, are the two-time defending champions of the Pro tournament. So, talk about guys that give each other the needle.
Yeah. We're lucky in the state of Michigan. We've got a lot of good players, and, you know, we were talking about Scott Hebert, too.
Yeah.
And it's pretty impressive that, you know, you play golf 6 months and you have some of the best players in the country, you know, PGA-wise here.
Yeah, I don't know how you'll feel when a 62-year-old kicks your ass, though.
You know what? My biggest goal is helping students play better golf. And, you know, if he kicks my ass, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Now, if one of his students that he teaches kicks one of my students' butt, that would be upsetting.
Even under these circumstances, I want to ask you a little bit about the your involvement with the Gaylord High School golf team. What's going to happen with that?
Yes, I'm not going to be assistant coach this year for the golf team, just being, you know, living a little bit further away. I am instead, though, volunteering with the First Tee of Northern Michigan.
Wow.
And we're running a PGA Junior League program through that. And we actually have our first practice for that next week here at Boyne Island, so we're excited about that.
How do people get their kids involved in that, Joe?
Yeah, if you just go on the web and First Tee of Northern Michigan, you'll see it. And it's real easy to sign up. Logan Paquette is the director of the program. And Josh Richter, actually, our director of golf here at Boyne, is on the board of directors as well. So really strong program here in Northern Michigan, and I'm happy to be involved with it.
Yeah, and it's something that parents should think long and hard about getting their kids involved in, because this program will run. I know a lot of summer camps and things are not going to happen this year because of COVID, but golf, you know, is in a nice little sweet spot for this.
It is. Yeah, we have a kind of a stepping stone process here at the Golf Academy for kids getting introduced to golf. The first step is that First Tee program. We think that they do, not only do they teach good golf, but they teach, you know, life lessons, which is such an important part of golf. Step two is a golf camp in the summer. And we just released a junior day camp. We have three dates for that that we're going to be doing right here at Boyne. We're not doing our overnight Nike camps this year, but we are doing a day camp, which is going to be awesome. So there's a date in June, a date in July, and a date in August. So the first one is coming up June 15th through the 18th. So we're excited about that. And then step three is private lessons.
Right.
You know, getting into a coaching relationship with a good teacher.
Yeah, and I know that that's one of the things that you love to do is work with younger kids. You've been doing it a lot, had a lot of success with the Gaylord golf team the last couple of years with producing a lot of great players. What is the website and what is the phone number for the golf school at Boyne, Joe?
So if you just go to www.boynegolf.com, you click on activities and you'll see junior golf right there. There's a link to sign up right online. As I mentioned, three dates. That'll get you going.
Very briefly, I want to talk about the golf match that was on TV on Sunday with Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning taking on Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. It had to be interesting from your perspective to have two of the best players in the history of golf playing with amateurs under very stressful situations. Now, granted, you know, Peyton's a pretty darn good golfer, and Brady wasn't looking so good for the first six holes.
Well, it's nice to know that guy's human, isn't it? I mean, how much success has he had in his life?
Yeah.
And just about everything he's done. That's what golf can do to you. If you're not used to playing, you know, tournament stressful golf, it can expose things. It was fun to see, but it was also fun to see him hold that wedge shot from 130 or 40 yards there. You know, he kind of got it going a little bit on the back nine.
Well, I thought, you know, he actually played really well on the back nine because, you know, alternate shot, the way he was playing, I was thinking that they were going to get massacred because he was going to leave Mickelson in a bunch of bad places, and it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting to see if those teams were flipped, and because Tiger played very, very good golf in that match.
Yeah, he did.
So if it would have been Tiger and Brady, I think it would have been a pretty close match all the way around. I actually used to work at Medalist when I was a little bit younger in my career, and I can tell you that is a very, very difficult golf course, especially when it's raining like that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they have some tough conditions out there.
I played it when I played it right after it first opened. It was the hardest. It had the highest slope in America. They've actually softened it a little bit, but it is still one of the 10, 15 hardest golf courses in the world.
Yeah. It's like Tiger and Phil made it look pretty easy. It's a fun course, but you know, there's some risk reward out there. There's a couple drivable par fours.
Yeah.
There's some, you know, 600 yard plus par fives that you'll never reach. There's just a good mixture of holes, so it's fun, and it was fun to see that course, and then obviously Seminole the week before.
Oh yeah,
in the other match, which right. You know, Seminole, you can't say enough good things about that golf course.
I can't believe how great that golf course is on that tiny a piece of land at Seminole. It's just tremendous the way that Donald Ross laid it out in as small an acreage as you can possibly imagine. Quick question before we let you go, Joe. What was your lowest number ever at Medalist?
So I never broke par at Medalist, but I did have my first hole in one there.
Oh, cool.
On that first par three, I think it's what, number four. So I had my first hole in one on that hole, but I think 73 or 4 or something like that was my lowest ever on that golf course, which. At the time, for me, I was pretty happy with that.
Oh, God, yes.
It's a beast.
It's a beast. It is a hard golf course. Well, Joe,
yeah.
It's great to have you back in the stable here at Finding Fairways, and it's good to have our listeners know that they can get world-class instruction from you at BoyneGolf.com. I look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Jerry.
Thank you, Joe Charles. And thanks for listening to Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be back with you next week. It's time to check in with our good friend Ken Griffin at BoyneGolf.com. And Ken, looks like you've got all the golf courses open now.
Yeah, we went for a good weekend last weekend. Great weather, 5 courses, golf shops open, 2 to a cart, and even allowed to have some sit-down dining choices. So we're really looking forward. Boyne Mountain, the Inner Bay Harbor, and Boyne Highlands all being open this weekend with additional dining options.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of people up. I'm sure you had a ton of rounds, but now you can really offer that true Boyne experience.
Well, you can have more variety because with the 5 additional courses that we're opening Friday, you've got the Monument at Boyne Mountain, the Preserve and Links, and the Links Quarry at Bay Harbor are opening, as well as the Moor and the Donald Ross Memorial at Boyne Highlands. So you've got all the variety of all 10 courses.
And to kick it all off, what an amazing stay-and-play package. You've got to tell them because they won't believe it from me.
We've got stay-and-play available for the next couple weeks through June 12th from $88. And then if you want to get away for more than a night for a stay-and-play, we've got a play-it-your-way option, which is 2 nights and 4 rounds of golf that lets you escape from the house you've been locked up in and enjoy a sit-down dinner at the end of the day on our courses. And you can do that through June 26th, and the starting price there is
$236 for 2 nights in your beautiful lodging, 4 rounds of golf, and a dinner?
Well, the dinner is on your own. But you
okay,
have a
I'm sorry.
Sit-down dinner. Yeah, no, that's okay to clarify. You have a chance for a sit-down dinner instead of one sitting in the same house you've been in for 90 days.
That's just amazing. And you, if you haven't been up north, folks, all the colors have popped. It's just gorgeous up here right now.
Yeah, and, you know, for more information, there's details on all this and details about even just booking a tee time. Go to BoyneGolf.com for more information.
The world's greatest golf website, BoyneGolf.com. Ken Griffin, we're excited to have everything back in swing at Boyne. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
This episode of Finding Fairways has been a presentation of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. We'll see you next week on these Finding Fairway stations.